Like to read the words of a song that is sung at Christmas time to us this morning. Thought we might sing it, but I'm not going to try to sing it for you. It says, "We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar. Field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold we bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh. Prayer and praising, all men raising, worship him, God on high. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume breathes a life of gathering gloom. Sorrowing sigh, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone cold tomb. Glorious now, beholding him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Alleluia. Alleluia sounds through the earth and skies." And the chorus says, "O star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading till proceeding, guide us to the perfect light." We've probably all sang that song at some point or another. And I'd like to read some of that story in Matthew, the second chapter. The week coming up is the one that we have set aside to honor the birth of Christ. And in the first verse of the second chapter of the book of Matthew, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophets, For thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men and inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." I'm thinking this morning about the wise men. It says here that they were wise men that came from the east to Jerusalem. There's a lot of things that get distorted as time goes on. And I believe some of what our perception is of them coming to Jesus while he was in the stable and as a very small child, maybe a day or so old, I believe that's most likely incorrect. Whether these men were kings or not, we don't know. We know they were regarded as wise men. The Greek word that it was translated from was a word that is also comes into our English language as being the word magic. And there were people that from Eastern countries that spent a lot of time observing the stars and astrology, and they had a lot of wisdom when it comes to the moving of the stars. And these most likely were men that had those kind of that kind of wisdom. Some people feel that they were Jews that had been displaced from being taken into captivity, and they were those that knew the prophecies of the Old Testament about Christ's coming, and there were those that had done all kinds of calculations, and others feel like that they were Gentile philosophers that had become aware of the prediction of a ruler coming up out of Judea. In fact, there are accounts in secular historians' writings, some of them Jewish, some of them Roman. Josephus is one, and there's a couple Roman historians that have an account that people during this era of time were anticipating a leader coming up out of Judea and possibly overthrowing the Roman Empire. So there was a not necessarily predominant, but there was a common thread of expectation of someone that would be recognized as a leader in a universal kingdom coming at the time that Christ was born. Not just in prophecy of the Old Testament, but in people's mindset. They had maybe studied some of the old scriptures, got some knowledge of this, and there were people that were anticipating this happening. From some of the writings of Daniel, Daniel lived his entire adult life to be very old in the city of Babylon. And Babylon would have probably been considered of the East and Oriental in nature. So we have this key, this song, We Three Kings of Orient Are today. This song was written by man in 1857, I believe is the date. And so by the time he wrote this song, there were a lot of things that had been kind of consolidated, and when he wrote the song, it's kind of cemented him into our minds that there was three men coming, and that they were kings, and they were Oriental people. Well, they weren't Oriental people like we think of Oriental people today, but they were people of what was considered the Orient, or they were east of the probably Euphrates River in that part of the world. But it doesn't say anything about them being just three of them. It said they were wise men. And the number three comes from the 11th verse. It says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him with gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. So we have three different types of gifts. And so that's where we get the three men, the three wise men, the three kings. That's where people have jumped to the conclusion that there was just three of them. There might have been three, and there might have been seven, and there are some people that believe that there were ten, or maybe more. So we don't know how many there were, but we've got a song that says three. I don't know. I'm not going to get hung up on that. My thought this morning is of what it takes to be a wise man. And I consider this story, and I really believe that when the men came, they had been traveling a long time. You and I can travel long distances and short amounts. We can make arrangements via the internet and have tickets to for an airplane ride, and we could leave tomorrow morning sometime, or maybe this afternoon, and we could be several time zones away in a matter of hours, from where we're at. But they couldn't do that. They had to make preparation. And they had to spend a lot of time traveling. They probably had people coming with them that was helping care for their transportation, their camels, and they were taking food for them and all of that. I'm thinking about the star that they seen while they were still in the east. And this song talks about them traveling west, and they said they seen a star from the east. So I'd like to go to Luke, the second chapter. Matthew and Luke are the only ones that really record Jesus's nativity or his birth. And looking in Luke, the second chapter, I want to pick up the story in the seventh verse. He says here, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, that ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and in earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. So they made haste and found, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. So we have evidence here that the shepherds came while Jesus was still in the stable and still in the manger. But I'm curious that we maybe consider this morning in the ninth verse that when the Lord's angels came upon the shepherds there, it says the glory of the Lord shone about them and they were sore afraid. We know that this wasn't just a small handful of angels, but I feel like that it was a very large number. And when the angels came and the glory of the Lord shined about them, have you ever wondered if maybe that illumination that was in the sky, you reckon that might have been the star that those wise men seen from the east? You know, I believe this was in the night, and those people spent a lot of time out looking at the stars. They were wise. They had accumulated a lot of knowledge, and they had studied, and whether they were Jews or Gentiles, I don't know. But the point is that they had something in their mind. We're looking for a sign. We know that there's a Christ coming. There's a Messiah coming. There's a King of the Jews that's to be born, and there's some kind of sign. And over there, Balaam even prophesied that there would be a star that would rise out of Judah. And I believe they were out in the night, and they might have seen that glory of the Lord shining down. It might have looked like a star to them. To the angel, to the shepherds, it was a big host of angels that was singing to them and that communicated to them. But I wonder if these wise men, if they didn't see that off in their distant land, and they started making preparations to go and to see what this was all about. So I want us to, they knew where to go. They knew that it was going to be in Judea. They were wise. They had that kind of understanding. A couple little side thoughts I want us to get a hold of. When the Lord came, He appealed to those that were very rudimentary in their knowledge and understanding. We do not consider shepherds to be extremely well educated. But He came to His message was for the shepherds. But it was also for the astrologers too. It was for those that was educated, that studied and was applying themselves to understand maybe things that were written down and the prophecies and all of that. He came for everybody. Well, I want us to think a little bit more about these wise people, these wise men. I want us to turn to Isaiah, the 55th chapter. And I'd really like to read this whole chapter to you, but I don't think I will for the sake of time. But I'd like to challenge you to read it. It's a very important chapter, I believe, in Isaiah. But I'm going to read in the 6th verse. It says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Seek the Lord while he's found. Now, the wise men, they weren't in the neighborhood of Bethlehem when Jesus was born. But they were looking. They were intent on knowing. They were looking for the sign that Jesus was coming. So when they seen the sign, they made preparations to make a very long distance journey to be able to come. And they not only took the burden of the expense to get there, but they took gifts to go to, and they humbled themselves before this little baby lying in a manger. How would that look? Someone that's an astrologer finding a little child in a stable, his parents so impoverished and so displaced that their child was born in a stable and wrapped the little baby up and laid him in a manger. We like to think with some fresh hay there and that it was kind of romantic and all that, but I don't really think it was. I think it was a pretty, it was a stable, folks. It wasn't a parking garage. It wasn't the patio on the back of the house. It wasn't the master bedroom or anything. It was a stable. And there was other animals in there. And when you have all the animal things that went with it. And you think about these wise men coming, and maybe they had elaborate clothing and decorations and all that, bringing gold and frankincense and myrrh into a stable where there was livestock. And all of the things that's on the floor and around that, and it wasn't built near as secure, I'm sure, as the house of the innkeeper there. But they came and humbled themselves before this little child and offered these gifts. What'd make them do that? The scripture says they were wise men. And the wisest thing any of us can do is seek the Lord while he may be found. That's the wisest thing any of us can ever do. They seek him. Another scripture tells us that today is the day of salvation. Today we have an opportunity to be clear and clean before the Lord. So the admonition for the wise is to seek him while he may be found. The shepherds, when they got the word, they left their flocks and they went into town to see if this thing was so. The wise men, they made all the preparations and put the effort out to go and be in the presence of Jesus. And I believe that it was a period of time, because it says he was a young child in a house. They weren't in the manger. I've just stepped over myself there, because I believe that the wise men, when they came, I believe Jesus was not in the stable any longer. I believe the shepherds came to see him in the stable, and I apologize for that. We've been indoctrinated that they came to the stable. But it says that they came to the house there, and the mother and the young child was there. I believe that maybe he was a year old. We know that Herod commanded that all of the younger, the little boys that were 2 years old and younger to be slaughtered. He was intent on killing Jesus. But there was a period of time. It took them a while to get there. So I want us to go back to the fifth chapter of Matthew and notice something that Jesus said while he was here and in his, you might say, the earlier part of his ministry. We consider it maybe the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew, the fifth chapter and the sixth verse. It said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." The wise men were hungry and thirsty to be able to worship the Savior. So the question I have for us today, are we hungry enough to sacrifice for spiritual food? Spiritual food is so readily available today. I'm not talking about corrupt spiritual food. I'm talking about good stuff. It's so accessible. I think of those that have put efforts into putting documents, audio recordings on the internet. We live in the age of the internet. We live in the age of communication. We have the ability to send incredible amounts and details of information. You know, many times we send information to each other that's... bear with me here. That's just nonsense. You see something that's interesting and you take a picture of it and you send it to the people you know because you can. We have that ability to. Maybe you see something funny on the side of the road, or maybe you see something that's interesting in a store. There's all kinds of information like that being sent to everywhere, to one another, and sometimes it's used as a tool. We're sending a picture or something so somebody can understand what we're trying to communicate. And other times it's just stuff. But we can get some good stuff. There's good things out there that's available via the internet. And think about those wise men that and what they sacrifice to come and to see Jesus. Isaiah said, "Seek the Lord while he may be found." Matthew records Jesus as saying, "As blessed or happy are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And you know what happens in a time of prosperity, financial prosperity? People get lazy. People get lazy because they forget how hard their forefathers had to work to provide just basic food and clothes and shelter. And we live in a very prosperous time. And it's easy for us to say, "Nah, I don't want to do that." I'm not talking about just teenagers. I'm talking about middle-aged people too. "I'd just rather stay home as to work that job." You see? Depression is just a historical fact. It's not anything I lived through. I don't really understand it like somebody that came through it. You know what happens when we have spiritual affluence available to us? People get lazy. They get picky with what they eat. Well, I'm afraid they might have been talking about me. So they throw the whole thing out. Let's go to Proverbs, the 10th chapter, and the 22nd verse. My burden today is that we would get a hold of what it's like to be a wise man in the day that we live in. In Proverbs 10 and 22, it says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." And I don't know about you, but I really like that verse. I really like for the blessings of the Lord to be coming my way. I like to feel the blessings of the Lord on my life and in my soul. And I like to be content and full spiritually. I like to be content and full physically. I don't like being hungry. But I know this, if you're full and somebody offers you more, what do? Not now. I'm not hungry. I don't need that. You know what happens when we live in an age where there's so much available? I don't think they were talking to me. I'm comfortable with where I'm at. And then sometimes people come to the place that they're willing to say, "Me and the Lord, we've got a deal worked out." You know why they do that? They're not desperate. They feel full. They feel content. They're not hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I'd like to turn and read one more verse in Psalms. Psalms 27. Psalms 27 and verse 7 says, I'm sorry, not Psalms, but Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27 and verse 7 says, "The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet." A full soul. Naturally speaking, if we've just been to the buffet and we have filled three plates full of food and we've cleaned our plate three times, I would venture to say that we're all full. You've had two plates full of whatever's on there, catfish and green beans and hot rolls and whatever else is out there. You filled that up twice and cleaned it up. And then you had a plate full of maybe pie and ice cream and cookies and all of that other. And you're so full that you are uncomfortable. And you don't really feel like walking or bending over or anything. Like you want to go lay down somewhere as you're so full. And somebody comes along and says, "I got some honey. I got some fresh honeycomb here. Would you like some honeycomb?" And it's like, no. That don't even sound good right now. Proverbs says, "A full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry every bitter thing is sweet." So I want to ask us a question today. Are we hungry for the presence of Christ in our life? Are we hungry for that? Or have so much that we just filled our minds and soul with so much spiritual information? And I'm not even saying that you had bad stuff put in there. But you're just so full that you're just kind of wallowing a little bit. You know, the information age we live in makes us picky eaters. I realize that you could probably stay home today and listen to something online, maybe from someone that you feel is more eloquent than I am, and got your spiritual food for today online. I'm not talking about bad stuff. I'm glad you came. Now think about the effort that the wise men made to be in the presence of the Lord. Oh, yeah, they were wealthy. They had affluence. And they could have maybe said, well, I believe that's the star of the Messiah coming. We're just going to worship Him from over here where we're at. They probably could have done that. But they put out a lot of effort to be in the presence of the Lord. Sometimes when things is not presented just exactly right, we tend to be picky and we want to just cast it all off to the side. I believe that we're all going to be we're going to be accountable for the truth we're exposed to. So I want to challenge us today. We approach this Christmas holiday. I want to challenge us to be wise men. They recognized that they were affluent. They had lots of this world's goods. They obviously had means to be able to travel. And they also had means to be able to bring to this little baby. And because they did, they enabled Mary and Joseph to escape Herod. And they enabled our Savior to be able to be supported while He was waiting for Herod to be taken off of the scene. And He did come to establish a world power, a world government. It was established when Jesus was here. It's still in place today. We can be part of that kingdom today. It's not something that's coming in the future. It's available today for us. Jesus came and He is the ruler. The government is on His shoulders. Not our political government, but the government of the spiritual affairs of mankind. It's on Jesus' shoulders today. So I want to ask us to seriously consider, are we like one of those wise men? Will we make the sacrifices? Will we make the efforts that it takes to be in Christ's presence? Will we make the commitments to be there to support Him ourselves? Are we someone that just likes to nibble around the edges a little bit and not really put our shoulders to the harness? We're just kind of standing around the fringe a little bit. You know what hinders the work of the Lord as much as anything? Is lethargy. Not willing to put our whole heart into it. Not willing to jump in with both feet. I'm just going to get my feet wet a little bit, but I'm not going to wade in very deep. I'm not going to really put my heart into it. I'm going to see how this thing pans out. The wise men didn't do that. They seen a star. They were looking for something. Lord, is there an opportunity to come into Your presence? They were looking for that. So I'm asking us today to consider our mode of operation. Are we operating like a wise man today? Are we willing to go the distance? How many of us here would be willing to enter into a several month journey just to be in the presence of someone that couldn't talk to us? I don't know. Maybe Jesus was a year old. What do children do when they're a year old? How much do they talk to us? They don't talk much, do they? They communicate to us, but it's not through very much intelligible speech. So I just want us to consider today, where are we at? If history was written about us, would they say they were one of those wise men? They really put everything they had into cultivating a life with the Lord. Or would they say, I really wouldn't classify them as one of the wise? What will history say about me? And what will they say about you? You pray.